Now, I want to read some to you tonight. I understand we got a brother Jerry Hall with us back here. Is that right, brother? Brother Jerry Hall? We're delighted to have you, brother Jerry. I didn't know you, but brother Frank Beretta mentioned your name, and we certainly count it a privilege to have you here with us. I believe you're somewhere out of Atlanta. Is that right? Appreciate having him. I believe Jerry's a minister and also a builder. And we appreciate having him here. He's somehow or another, he and Brother Beretta have business transactions among themselves, and they had discussed the church, and he had come down to pay us a visit, for which we're very thankful. Appreciate you coming. Hope you'll come back and be with us regularly, Jerry. Now, we've had a wonderful camp meeting. The Lord has blessed us, and the camp meeting's over, and people have gone back to their places of abode, and here we are with our own little family again. That makes it easier for me to talk to you. I can talk with you a whole lot easier, so long as I kind of have my own family with me. I tell you what, let's read a little of the scripture tonight. In the 29th chapter, at the 8th verse, it shall even be as when a hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awaketh, and his soul is empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awaketh, and behold, he is faint. And his soul hath appetite, so shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion. Now it proves the soul has an appetite there and it needs to be fed. That's why the Lord said, taste and see if I'm good, or see that I am good. Stay yourselves and wonder, cry ye out and cry, they are drunken but not with wine. They stagger but not with strong drink. The Lord hath poured upon you the spirit of deep sleep. And hath closed your eyes, the prophets and your rulers, the seers hath he covered. The vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men, therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep, to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us? And who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed to the potter's clay. Or shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? Is it not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field. And the fruitful field shall be esteemed of the forest. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord. And the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed. And all that watch for iniquity are cut off. Then make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and turn again aside the just for a thing of naught. Therefore thus saith the Lord, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob. Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale. But when he seeth his children, the work of mine hands in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name, and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall fear the God of Israel. They also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, And they that murmured shall learn doctrine. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, and that cover with a covering but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. They walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust of the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were as Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of the people that could not be a help nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. All right, the Bible said, tells us here that they that are unlearned shall come to understanding. That is, God will make known unto them the things of God. For one has delivered the book to another, saying, tell me what's in the book. And another said, I cannot tell you, because it is sealed. And that is true. Well, when the angel came to Daniel, Daniel said, I'd like to know. He said, Daniel, seal up the book until the time appointed, for it is yet for a time appointed. But in the days of John, he did not tell John to seal the book. John saw some of the same things that Daniel saw. He did not say to John to seal the book, for he said, John, the time is at hand. Now, what John saw in his day, as I said, was just a few short years after Calvary. 96 A.D., John wrote the book. 33 A.D., Jesus and Calvary. Just a few short years, John wrote the book, having seen the revelation of Jesus Christ, what had taken place at Calvary, and God had raised him up for that purpose. That inasmuch as John had lived in the days of Calvary, had walked with the Christ, had known these things, that he should write about the life of Jesus. But he let John have it by spiritual revelation. And people not being spiritual, inasmuch as at the time of John's death, the church had already been previewed and was to fall into the dark age, as I spoke of this morning. Then when he said, John, it is at hand, there was an indication that even though Paul, who received the revelation, had made the statement at this time, that now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God, yet there was an indication in Paul's speech that there was a day yet to come. For he said, I'm as one born out of season. So then when John was told that the time was at hand not to seal the book did not need to be sealed, because the church was going to fall into a dark age and the real understanding of the book of Revelation wasn't going to be made known until it come out of the dark age, the light of the evening time, as Brother Branham said. Now, the church has come out of the tribulation period. Not the tribulation, but the dark age. It's just on the verge of going into the tribulation period. But it has come out of the dark age. And inasmuch as it's come out of the dark age, then the Lord had told John, said, John, seal not the book, for the time is at hand. The Lord suffered that book to go down through the years and men not understanding it, because the things that happened in the writing of John had to do with the tribulation period, which is to follow after the church ages are finished. So then, the Lord suffered it to be after this fashion. We are the people that are not they that which are born out of season. We are the people to whom the book is not closed. We are the people, and this is the day for which the book was written. Though the fullness of time came at Calvary, as I said this morning, yet the happenings, the benefits, the recognition of the fullness of time was not to be comprehended until this day that we're living in, as I brought it out in revelational types this morning. So this is the most beautiful day of any day. There's never been a day like this day. 10 years ago, when Brother Branham walked the earth, it wasn't a day like this day. The light of the evening time is brighter now than it's ever been in all the history of mankind. The Bible said, the prophet speaking, it shall come to pass in the evening time. We're 10 years further along toward the evening time than Brother Branham was in his daylight. In the evening time it shall come to pass, said the prophet, that God will take the seal off of the book. The light will come. The deep things of God shall be revealed, and the mysteries of God shall be made known. Even the mystery, Paul spoke of the change of the church. Now to me, that's nothing less than wonderful. Nothing less than wonderful. All right, I said that to lay a foundation for a few thoughts. And to see if I could collect your mind and your thoughts tonight. If you'll give me your thought pattern for just a little bit now, collect your thoughts. The reason I need your thoughts is because your thoughts is your spirit. Whatever you're thinking, that's your spirit. That's the condition of your you. There's only one you, and that's a spirit. He lives in this little house of clay. And God is a spirit, and God uses human instrumentality of the mouth of a minister to be able to speak to your spirit. Now, I'm a man, and I speak to your intelligence. And I try to get the attention of your intelligence. And then when I get the attention of your intelligence, if I'm a man of God, then I have a connection with God and I have an understanding with God that once I get your intelligence with my intelligence, then I submit my intelligence with your intelligence to the Spirit of God which is within me. And then it's no longer I that speak, but it's the anointing of the Heavenly Father that speaketh from within me. And that Spirit does not speak to your intelligence. That Spirit speaks to your understanding, which is your spirit. God is a spirit. I can give you a revelation up here, and I must give it to you up here if I have it, if you're ever going to get it. But it takes God to give it to you down here. God allows the ministry to preach the word of revelation directly to you as an individual. And the Bible says that if we convert a man, we've saved a soul from hell. It is up to us to save that man from hell by converting his thinking. Therefore, we are called a Savior by God. Speaking of Saviors in the plural. That's why men praise men if they become their Savior. A membership of a great body, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, that is of the Savior. But no matter how much I preach to you, as far as your natural intelligence, there has to be a supernatural spirit on the inside of me that will quicken that spiritual revelation to your spiritual man. That is the work of the quickening spirit, Jesus Christ, who is the intercessor between man and God. He is the only one. Nobody else can do it. A minister can't do it. Nobody can do it. It takes him. This is a dreadful day that we're living in. A sad day that we're living in. A sorrowful day that we're living in. I made the statement not too long ago concerning Billy Graham. If we'll just take a minute here. And how that he was leading people into chaos. Though people praise him, and people that are unlearned, they don't understand. They're just religious. And anything that looks good, especially if it draws the crowd, they go right after it. But I said that we have to leave people like that alone. They've got a job. They've got a place with God. But they're just out there with enough to catch the people's attention, to channel the people into the real things of God. And their reward is the things of this life. For instance, today, Brother James Torrance brought me an article. I'm going to say this plain. This is the plain day we're living in anyway. But in the article, it stated that Billy Graham was in favor of ordaining homosexuals into the ministry. Oh, you said it couldn't be. That's what the paper stated. Either it's true or they lied, and papers don't have a habit of lying because they can get suits put in against them. They have to have some proof. But did you know, in spite of all of that, he had enough biblical understanding that he couldn't as of yet comment concerning women ministers. That's better than some of you fellas do. You love the Lord? God had never called a woman to the ministry, and he won't never call one. And Billy Graham apparently has enough sense at this time to know that, even though he's bad off otherwise. But this is a sad day. Why would Billy Graham come to any such thing? Because it is the day of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God is about to withdraw and turn this whole thing into a Sodom and Gomorrah. And it was the time of Sodom and Gomorrah that God took Lot, that was typical of the church, out of Sodom and Gomorrah. It was at the time that the angel came to visit. And it was at that very time that God rained down fire and brimstone. How many of you remember all down through the years we've been talking to you? And especially in the last few months. I said that at last we come to the Sodom and Gomorrah age and told how many they had in Atlanta, Georgia. And I said that's the one thing that God will not tolerate. Paul in his revelation, seeing the end time, said the latter time would be that man would leave the natural use of the woman and so forth, burn the lust one toward another, working that which is unseemly. It is the true fact that Brother Branham has predicted the fire and the brimstone by 77. And I made the statement this morning, they've taken the eagle off of the half a dollar, which indicates the rapture of the church, and that the eagle nation represents the last one of the four of those seals that was represented or announced by an eagle, and that indicates that the church has been raptured out. I know they that are not spiritual don't understand that. But the church is already gone. How many believe that? Somebody said, I'm waiting for the church to be raptured. Well, you're running late, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. God is a spirit. And the Bible tells me that God has chosen us out of this world. And we are here with Christ. In God, that's a spirit. Hid with him in heaven. That is, the heavens have received him. How do we get to heaven in a rapture? There's no such thing as the word rapture in the Bible in that term. It's something to throw you off. Change from glory to glory, Paul said, a moment, twinkling of an eye, from faith to faith. Enoch was translated by faith into the kingdom of God. Is that right? How do you understand that? Enoch was translated by faith. Faith by what? Faith by the hearing of the word. How does God rapture the church? By faith in the word. How can he do it? By the unveiling of the word. Alright. I want to teach a little bit. Maybe preach at you just a little in between. Paul said, a preacher and a teacher. The Bible said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher sent from God. Matthew 28 said, go teaching, baptizing. I want to drop back to the garden scene. And I want to bring out a few thoughts here concerning the church. And this will help you in your marriage. It'll help the woman. And it'll help the man. I was just asked some questions today that this covers in this thing that I've been wanting to preach for a day or two here, talk to you about. Let's go back to the garden. I preached a message here, some of you remember it, and the title of the message was The Covering of His Glory. All right, now, in Isaiah 30, we'll get a review here. In Isaiah 30, the Bible said they cover with a covering, but the covering is not of my spirit. Is that right? I preached in the garden That when the Lord came into the garden, Adam and Eve said, I am naked. And God said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Jesus said, anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Is that right? That means the eyes of understanding has to do with the covering or the nakedness. Now, how could that be? Because God is a spirit, and God is the word, and God is the understanding, and God is a revelation. That means there's a spiritual being on the inside. And this spiritual being has to have a spiritual covering. What was the spiritual covering? God said, they cover not with my spirit. What was the spiritual covering? The spiritual covering was the glory of God, which was the Shekinah glory. Adam was in that covering. What was the Shekinah glory of God? It was the image of Jesus Christ. For the Bible said, let us make man in our own image. And when Adam fell from the garden, he lost the covering of the glory, which was the image of Christ. You follow me? So then what did the Lord have to do? He had to look for another image. What was the image? It was the covering of the image of the beast. That's why you're flesh and bones today. You say, what do you mean by that? The Bible said, in iniquity did my mother conceive me. I am shapen in iniquity. And God said, in the morning, I will despise your image. Is that right? There had to be another covering. What was the covering? It said that he clothed them with skin. That's what we got, skin. That spiritual man had to have another body, another covering. That's why Jesus was made sin. That's why he died at Calvary. That's why he was nailed to the cross. It's because the image of sin had to be done away with. The Bible said what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh, that they who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit, should have no condemnation. Is that right? Hallelujah, that makes me feel good. So then, to everyone that can believe, Calvary is the end of the perverted covering. They cover with a covering. But the covering is not of my spirit. What is the spirit? It's the word. What is the word? It's the Son of God. What is the Son of God? It's a quickening spirit. Grieve not the quickening spirit, the Holy Spirit, Jesus' spirit, whereby thy spirit is sealed unto the day that this outer body is redeemed. What is that covering? When God's spiritual word, his spirit, his own presence, had control of Adam and Eve's spirit, and the spirit, the word, the covering, the mind, the understanding, said, the day that thou eatest of this tree, thou shalt surely die. Is that right? Then, when this was rejected, the thing that happened was that another mind, another word, another voice, another spirit, which was the mind of Satan, came in. And when this mind came in, this mind became their covering. Come on now. Their spirit was then covered with their own reasoning, their own intellectual understanding, the beast, thing that was said to Eve from the garden. Is that right? Their spirit was taken away from the spirit of joy, peace, meekness, long-suffering, the fruits of the tree of life, which was from God, the eternal spirit, Jesus, the word, the tree of life. Their spirit was taken from the tree of life. And their spirit turned to another tree,
a tree of knowledge of human reasoning. And this tree was a corrupt tree. A tree of lust and covetousness. A tree of human desire and ambition. Self-appointment. They got this tree. They ate this fruit. And this mind became as a spirit, the covering of their inner spirit. As long as they had the Spirit of God, the mind of God, the Word of God, as the covering of their spirit, they were alive. For Jesus said, "My word's alive." And they had a covering in the outer man, which was the image of God, which was Jesus Christ. But when they got the inner covering of the satanic mind, they had brought themselves down to the level of a beast. Therefore, in that Satan worked through the beast, they had brought themselves down from sonship in God and brought themselves down to a beast level. Come on, folks. Therefore, the image of the sons of God could no longer be used. Is that right? Though they were made in that image. There had to be another image, an outer covering. If the image of Jesus Christ was the outer covering that corresponded or was relative to the inner covering of the mind of Christ, then there had to be an outer covering of a beast body, an image that would correspond to the beast covering of the beast mind, which was Satan on the inside. Is that right? That's why the Bible said they're brute beasts, made to be taken and burned. That's why the Bible said that we don't know what the Lord looks like. Come on now. We don't know what Christ looks like. We don't know. Isn't that right? We don't know. Somebody said, but we're made in His image. If we're made in His image, then why don't we know? I said, why don't we know? Jesus said, you've never seen God's image at any time. There's something to think on, folks. The Bible said Jesus Christ was the express image of God. The word express there means the given image. If I send something by express, I'm sending it on its way. Is that right? It's the given image of God from heaven, the only given image. Is that right? Somebody said the exact likeness. It meant God expressing Himself in humanity. That's what express means. In other words, God being a spirit, great is the mystery of God, is for God manifests Himself in a human body called the Son of God. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to Himself. But Jesus being made in the likeness of Adam's fall, being in the very image of Adam, which had failed from the garden, stood there in the likeness of sin, being made sin, saying that you have never at any time seen God's image. Are you listening? The Bible said we don't know what He looks like, but when He appears, we know that we shall be like Him. Why is it that we don't know? Because Paul said, as we have borne the image of the earthy, the fallen image, as we have borne that, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly, which is Jesus. Peter said to put off this tabernacle. The body of the beast, that we have another tabernacle, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ in the heavens, that is in the Spirit. God sees me in a finished product. I am in the eyes of God as a finished product. He sees me not as the perverted image of my first birth, which is shapen in iniquity, but He sees me in the restored image of the seed of Adam in the garden, where I am not in the first fallen image of perversion, but rather in the image of His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. He never beholds me in that perverted image because Jesus died. That was me dying at Calvary. He became me in death that I might become His glorious resurrected body. That's why that I say that a woman has to obey her husband. I want you to listen. The church lost its covering because it rejected the word. Adam was the woman because the flesh is considered the woman. And Adam was the woman that lost his covering in the spirit. Eve was only a type of the church or a type of Adam, which was the weaker species to show that God's strength was what was needed for the woman. That is the church. And Eve lost her covering, which was her head, which was the mind of her husband, which was Adam. And at the head of the church is Jesus. Then when Jesus died at Calvary, and the Jews were cut off, it signified that the head to the church had been crucified and the woman had rejected the head of her husband, which was her covering. When Eve rejected the covering of Adam, I want to get to something here. When Eve rejected the covering of her Adam, which was her head, she sinned against God and God cut her off. In the Old Testament, the sin of the woman was not substantiated until the man made it official. If the man annulled it, it couldn't be. But if the man partook of it, then it was called guilt. The Bible said Eve partook of it and gave to Adam, and he also did eat. I'm satisfied that Eve probably said to Adam, "Adam, I've been talking with somebody, and I've really learned some things." Adam probably said, "You didn't eat of the tree of knowledge, Eve." She probably said, "Well, sure." Oh, he said, "Eve, you didn't do that. God said we'd die when we'd done that." And Eve probably said, "But I met somebody that told me God lied to me." And said, "You know what, Adam?" Said, "He really did." Adam probably said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, I'm not dead and I eat of the tree. See, he told me if I eat of the tree, I'd die. But I'm not dead. Adam, why don't you try it?" But see, what Adam didn't recognize was that poison had not hit the brain yet. That thing had never got to the head yet. That God had never charged it against the body, against the family yet. But the very minute that Adam ate of it, God said, "Where art thou, Adam?" The very minute that that happened, God brought judgment. God let the church wander down through the ages all the way from the garden and winked at men's ignorance. And though the imposition of the law came, he still walked with them and chose the Jewish people as a scapegoat to let the judgment rest upon so all the world could go free. But the day that Jesus Christ came into the world and Jesus was made sin, that meant that the sin had reached the headship, and God immediately killed the head. We esteem him smitten of God. He took Jesus and nailed him to the tree. And when he nailed him to the tree, that Jewish body died. They went out of the presence of God because Jesus was the head. They said, "The King of the Jews." All of that was typical. Because if that's true, then Christ is the head of the spiritual Jew. Is that right? That's the only reason that the spiritual Jew will never have to die, is because the spiritual head's not guilty. The Bible said the man was not in the transgression. Somebody said, "Well, why did Jesus die?" God, being the head, took it on himself to be punished. But he took it on in the form of a woman. The flesh was the form of a woman. And he smote the woman at Calvary. In the time. You follow me? But it was the man taking the suffering for the woman. That's why a woman travails in birth. That's why she brings children into the world. That's why God says she be saved in childbearing. That which is called the custom of women. In the loss of blood, that was Calvary. That was what Jesus did. You follow me? All right, listen just a minute now. What is it? when a woman turns away from a husband, she has rejected her head, and she cannot be saved until she comes back to her head. If God saves the woman without her head, then all of the types and shadows are broken, because the church cannot be saved without its head. God is the head of Jesus. And Jesus can't be saved without the head. And Jesus is the head of the church. The head of man. And man can't be saved without that mind word. And man is the head of woman. And woman can't be saved without her head. I've heard women say, God can speak to me as good as he can speak to you. Some woman said, I'm called to preach. How could a woman be called to preach when she don't even have a head to speak out of? She ain't got a mouth to speak out of. You couldn't have a mouth without a head. What is the covering? It is the head. I say again, the woman which has hair on her head, the Bible said it is given her for her covering. The hair that's on her head is typical of the church. She's typical of the church. And the hair is a typical of the glory that rests upon the shoulder, saying the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his body is the church. And we are his body, members in particular. Is that right? This is why Jesus had long hair. To show the woman part, the feminine part. But when he came up out of the grave, hallelujah, the Bible said the scriptures can't be broken. And the Bible said it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Somebody said, what do you mean? I said, the Bible said we don't know what he looks like. According to all them pictures, you know what he looks like. But there must be a difference in the resurrection of the Lord. Hallelujah. He's going to be the fulfillment of the word. Now, what is the difference? When she rejects her head, that's why the devil makes the woman cut her hair off. He wants her to cut it off because it shows rebellion against her husband. It shows the church in rebellion against the Lord. When they wear miniskirts and bathing suits and all of these things, it shows that they're naked just like God said. The church is in that kind of condition. How did it get that way? Through the beastly intelligence of the so-called ministry of today that's hungry for money and fame and popularity. The beast. The nearest thing in this garden to a man is a beast. Are you listening? Hallelujah. Oh, I like that, don't you? Man covered with a beast form. Is that right? Adam lost his sonship, come down to a beast. Everyone that's been born in this world is a beast, bearing the image of the beast. The nearest thing to that man was that beast. The nearest thing to that Son of God that God made before Adam fell was the thing that came after the fall, which was Adam. Is that right? That Adam that failed was a man. That's right. But when he was in the presence of God, he was a son of God. You say, Brother Pike, how can he be a son of God and then not be a son of God? That's a good question. The reason he could do it is because he was a created son of God made out of the dust. He was in the presence of the covering, God's Spirit, the Shekinah. And everything is sanctified in the presence of that Spirit. That's why you got a day of grace today. Everybody with the Spirit poured out on them has got a covering of the grace of God. Which means as long as the blood atonement is up there on the seat, the mercy seat, it means there's a covering over the people. A blood covering, and the Spirit of God sanctifies them. The unbelieving husband sanctified by the believing wife. That's a church. All right, now, there's a covering. The covering in the days of grace, everybody's all right. Work miracles, live like the devil. Still work miracles, live like the devil. Still go to church, still feel God's blessings. Because the blood's still on the atonement seat. Are you listening? But look at it for just a moment. Adam fell from sonship when he was in the presence of the Spirit. He was a son of God. Not by birth, now listen to me, not by birth, but he was a son of God by creation. And when that creation got in the presence of that Spirit, it glorified it as long as it was in the presence of it. But when that voice spoke to it and enticed it away, when it pulled it out, the Bible said first enticed, then led away. Lust conceives, sin comes forth, it brings forth death. When Adam was enticed away, he went out of the presence of the Spirit. When he got out of the presence of the Spirit, he lost the covering of God's Spirit. Isaiah 30 said they covered with the covering, but not of my Spirit. His Spirit was the covering. When Adam got out of the presence of that Spirit, he was no longer an eternal being. Somebody said, well, what do you mean? I mean he never had eternal life to begin with, as I said so many times, because if he'd had eternal life, he could never have died. Adam did not have eternal life. He was created out of the dust. The Bible said, from the dust thou art taken, into the dust thou shalt return. Every seed of Adam goes back to the dust. He never was eternal. As long as he abode within the presence of the Shekinah glory, he could live eternally. As long as he abode, just like Moses up on the top of the mountain. Moses was 80 days without food and 80 days without water, and that's impossible. You can't do that. Because he was a man. But as long as he was in the presence of the Shekinah glory, he could live like a god. He didn't have to eat. He didn't have to worry. He could have went on living from now on. No disease could have got to him. But that didn't mean he had eternal life. You listening? Now what was the difference? I made the statement, the difference was Adam was the son of God by creation and lived in the presence of the light. People that in the days of grace today, you may be a son by creation and you may be of the first man Adam. If you're the first man Adam, you are a son by creation. And you can live in the presence of the grace of God in the day that we're living in and go on and have the mercies of God. Live, prosper. Everything can go well with you. But the beast mind can still entice you and lead you out of the presence of God. But listen, the second man Adam, which was the Son of God, the image before Adam's fall, when this Adam came along, he was not created out of the dust. The Bible said, this day have I begotten myself a son. And the Bible said he's the only begotten of the Father. And everyone that's born of the Spirit is begotten by that same Son of God, by the same Holy Ghost. We are not a created son of God, but a begotten son of God, born of his bone and flesh of his flesh. The only begotten is the membership of the church, and he's the head of it. If you've never been born again, you're still as a created son. When he breathed the breath of life, I brought out the other night, that heart, that's all it is, just a heart beating in death. But when that second breath came, when Jesus ascended up on high and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. That was the eternal breath of life. The Spirit. The second man Adam was a quickening spirit. The first man Adam was a natural man. In Adam all die. In Christ all are made alive. Everybody that's natural will die. The natural man will die. The natural ordinance will perish. The natural world will pass away. When Jesus was fastened to Calvary, that was the end of all natural things. For everyone that believeth. I hope you saw that in this morning's sermon. The fullness of time. That was the end of it. That was the end of it. The end of the world. Peter said, you're the people upon whom the end of the world have come. That was the end of the world for me. That was the end of the world for you. I'm no longer in the world. He's chosen me out of the world and hid me with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. Since I believed in Calvary, ever since Calvary, everybody that can believe is translated. The Bible said, for God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. Since the fullness of time, we've been translated into the kingdom of God. I'm not of this world. I'm not of this world. Jesus said, you're not of this world. Come on, folks, stay with me now. Jesus said, I'm not of this world. My kingdom's not of this world. We are not of this world. The Bible said the world loveth its own. You stoop to their idolatrous practices. You stoop to their crooked business ways. You stoop down to their evils and their surmisings. And you'll be part of the world and they'll love you, for the world loveth its own. But my brother, you cross them in their evil and stand before them and tell them you're not going to be partakers with them and sin or rejected. And you'll become a rejected stone. Why? Because you're not of this world. Jesus said, you're not of this world, even as I'm not of this world. Ooh, that makes me feel good. Hallelujah. I like that. I tell you what, there's so much revelation there, I could preach all night on it. Hallelujah. Like Brother David Paul, he's starting him a paint company. He wanted to give it a name. I said, a good name is Colorful Changes. That's what a painter does. He changes things right now. Just call it Colorful Changes. I said, there's something coming into view. Put a rainbow over it and let a man child run it. I said, it'll work all right. David, that really stirred him up. He said, well, boy, I'll tell you what I'm going to put. He said, I'm going to put Pike's Peak of Perfection. I said, PPP. I said, if you're going to do that, just put a pyramid over there and put the capstone coming down the capstone. This pattern runs out of a man child, 15 years old, starting a contracting business out here. People going to give him his painting and he ain't nothing but a kid. But he's a man child. Had a lot of problem in one way with David. He's been good in other ways. But he grew up too fast in his mind. It made it hard for me to deal with him. He was a kid and I had to deal with him like a man. In other words, he couldn't understand why he couldn't do everything I'd done. He didn't want his mama to correct him. He'd tell her to shut up. He was a man. Because he's learning better than that now. How do you understand what I'm saying? This is a great day. There's something that's taking place. The pattern of the catching up of the man child. I said this morning when they went up to the moon and they set the flag up there, Icky Bob was wrote over the door. Old glory was moved out and gone to heaven. The rapture of the church. The eagle gone off the half a dollar. And now they put 76 to 76. 200 years of government. And history shows that it can't last no more than that. No government's ever lasted over 200 years. Now this government coming in right here that we spoke of. The rapture of the church, that fourth beast, that eagle gone out, the eagle nation over. The end of the eagle age. Then what's coming in? The dove age, which is the millennium. The spirit age. And the spirit come down upon the Son of God. Isn't that right? It's the dove age coming in. Brother Branham said one time, the dove leading the eagle. I don't know what he meant by it. But this is what I understand of God, is that the millennium is a spiritual age. I don't know what he meant. But I know that the millennium is a spiritual age. It's a dove age. It's Christ's age. And he's the dove of God. And I know that this has been an eagle age. And I know the millennium's got to take over. I know this government's got to take over. Are you listening now? All right, now, let's get us another thought or two. And I'll try not to hold you long. I know I've held you a long time, but just hold on. I'll try not to hold you long. Just wait a few more minutes. All right, what is the covering? What is the covering having to do with? Let's look at it just a few more minutes. The government going out. The new government coming in. The church is already gone. It's already been raptured. The Christ came and stole the church away from glory to glory, faith to faith, revelation to revelation. The mind that Adam rejected that caused him to fall into the mind of Satan. That same spiritual mind, that quickening spirit, that Holy Ghost Jesus came into the darkness of an intellectual night of reasoning. and like a thief among the people, slipped in and got the human souls and translated them into his kingdom and picked them up and translated them into the kingdom and said, now just set tight your seal with the Holy Spirit. Said, don't leave it until the time of the redemption of the body. The Lamb of Atonement coming off of the mercy seat, having finished his work of intercession as the high priest, which is the Holy Ghost, getting back into the body and coming back in a human body to pick up the Jews. Because Paul said, the casting away of the Jews be the reconciled of the world. What will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead? He could have said, if the casting away of the Jews show the deadness of the body, then what will the receiving of the Jews be but the redemption of the body? That's what he was saying. The reason he said that's because he had a revelation. He could have never said it if he hadn't seen it. I couldn't say it tonight if I couldn't see it, because Paul never explained what he was talking about. But I know what he's talking about, because the same revelation, the same Holy Ghost, showed me exactly what he meant. I said this morning, the dissecting of the Jew, Catholic, and Protestant showed the death from Calvary. The coming together of the Jew, Catholic, Protestant, the confederation showed the resurrection of the dead, which brings in the Jew. The message, the mystery of God being finished. The mystery of how that we pass death. How did we pass death? I brought it out. He's born of God, can't sin. Where there's no sin, there's no death. Because the Bible said he can't sin, he can't die. Because sin is the sting of death. If there's no sin, there's no sting. If there's no sting, there's no death. Is that right? Where does that come in? He is born of God, cannot sin. Somebody said, well, he might not. It didn't say he might not. Somebody said, well, if he lives good, he'll make it in. It didn't say if he lives good, he'll make it in. The Bible said God has perfected forever them that are sanctified. And sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus Christ on the tree. The blood of Christ. The faith by which you're sanctified. Isn't that right? It ain't no make-believe about it. Ain't no half-hearted thing about it. Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. How did he do that? He discovered the mystery that Paul spoke of. I can tell you exactly how he done it. I know how he done it. First of all, this proves something right here. The Bible said, and the Bible don't record this. Now, this is Jude speaking. One of the writers spoke of Enoch and said, Enoch prophesied of these things. Well, I wish somebody would tell me where he prophesied. It ain't wrote in the Bible. I never read where he ever prophesied. But this boy caught a revelation. And he said he prophesied of these things, saying, I beheld the Lord coming back with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon the earth. What did Enoch see? He saw Revelation 19. Because that's the return of the Lord. I mean, he had a vision. It reached way on over here. Now then, that's how he done it. Just like Paul said, one born out of season. When Enoch looked way over here past Brother Pike's day and saw Revelation 19 that ain't come to pass yet, I got a feeling he saw something in between while he was on his journey. And that something in between was the conquering of death. And the Bible said it was translated that he might not see death. Why did God let him do it? He was the seventh from Adam. He was the seventh from Adam. He had a translating message. God worked the times. Isn't that right? You say, but Brother Pike, I don't see how he could do it without the Son of God being crucified. How could he ever do it? Hallelujah. Praise God, Brother Richard. It's something to shout about. Hallelujah. Now you say, what do you mean? How could he do that? He could do that because he was not under the law. There was no such thing as law. Are you listening? 430 years before the law ever came into effect. Are you listening? 430 years before the law ever came to Moses on Mount Sinai. The scriptures, the revelation, the Spirit appeared to Abraham and said, Abraham, I'll impute your faith unto you as righteousness. Somebody asked me today, but Brother Pike said, what about grace? Said, we're in the days of grace. I said, grace has been here all the time. God's always been grace. God's never been anything but grace. but grace couldn't be made manifest to the seed of Abraham in its natural pilgrimage. Why? Because, he said, thine iniquities are separated between you and your God. Are you listening? Grace has always been there. What had to be done? Had to be a law, a penalty, that would condemn sin in the flesh. Because that was the middle wall of partition. That was the iniquity that separated. Is that right? God's a spirit, your spirit. The wall of iniquity, the shape, the image, the mind, standing in between you, the middle wall of partition, separated you from the grace of God. Come on now. Now, if that's true, when God sent Jesus, he nailed the enmity to the cross, taking out of the way the keeping of man-made ordinances. He fulfilled and paid the penalty of death that was imposed upon Adam's seed. Are you listening? When he smote the body of the Lord, that was the end. My brother and sister, that was the end of iniquity, and the middle wall of partition was gone, and the iniquity that had separated between me and my God was gone, and now I have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the atonement, the advocate with the Father, by faith in Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, as he is through the atonement. If any man sinned as an advocate, what's an advocate? That means it took it out of the way. The advocate took it out of the way. Somebody said an advocate means if I go out here and do wrong, I can go over here and pray and say, Lord, do you forgive me? If you don't watch out, you'll wind up in the same Catholic system that they're in today. Every time you do wrong, you go over here and say, forgive me. Go back and sin some more and say, forgive me. God didn't work it like that. The advocate was put there, and the Bible said, one stand for all. He made an end of sin. For the bulls and goats, the blood, brought it to his remembrance continually. And God hated the thoughts of it. Now he said, I'll cast your sin into outer darkness to never be remembered against you again. God did not say, I'll cast it into outer darkness to never remember it again. Because God can't forget nothing. God remembers all things. But he said, I won't never remember it against you again. He said, I don't want this thing being brought to my remembrance every year that you sinned against me. Your wife do evil, and every day somebody comes by to remind you of it. And you see the man that misused her, and you think, if I could put a bullet through his head and plant him 6 foot under the ground, I believe I could live with my wife. But as long as he's coming by and I got a remembrance of it, I'll never have any happiness. Come on, folks. Talking about Christ in the church. That's where mercy comes in. Is that right? God's always been grace. This is the day of grace we're living in. Now, a woman will say, well, Brother Pike, if the curse is gone now, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. And Jesus hung on a tree for us. If the curse is gone, that means a woman is no longer under the husband, and the husband should rule over. Because the ruling of the husband come over the wife because of the curse. That's true. I can't dispute it. That's true. Because Eve showed herself weak, the man had to rule over. But here's the thing, my brother. All of our life, and I want you to listen, we were under the constraint of the law. Because we was married to the law. Because of sin. All of our lives, we were under the constraint of the law. We served God as Israel did from the law. They served God being typical of our body of sin. Trying to make atonement with ordinances and with sacrifices of goats. And they served God because the law was imposed upon them. But when the day of Jubilee came, the year of release came according to the Jewish custom, when Pentecost came, those that were under the constraint of the law, they were released. Today we serve God not by the constraint of the law, but because we love him and we honor him for what he did for us. The law don't constrain me. The love of God constrains me. I serve him out of love. Therefore, the wife is free in that the husband doesn't rule over her if she is a believer in Calvary. Come on now. Them that are out in the world, they're not free from the law because they don't believe in Calvary. They're still under the curse of the law. The Bible said he has fallen from grace, is still under the law. They'll be punished by the law, judged by the law, Paul said, condemned by the law as sinners and transgressors. But he that believes in Calvary is free from the law. Is that right? How do you believe in Calvary? Aren't you free from the law? No such thing as sin and death to you anymore. You're free people. You're set free. Hallelujah. Can you imagine what happened to the black man and the black family when Abraham Lincoln stood up and says, you're free. Folks, you're free. Really, genuinely free. Now, you can't sin, you can't be lost. You're free from the fear of death and the law. Hell, I feel good, brother, huh? You believe what I'm telling you? That's the only way to be saved is to believe. That's the way it was translated from death and the law into freedom, into heaven. When you get free into heaven, that's heaven when you get free. I'm under the bondage, is that right? Translated the kingdom of freedom. The time appointed of the Jews, you know, the old customary thing, the redemption of the body, saying, this is my son. John said, now your son's always been sons. Don't appear what you'll be like in the redemption of the body. But the Jews had the custom. At a certain time, he set this son out there and said, everybody know that this is my son. Perfect. At that ceremony, the adoption of the body, is that right? Some of you know what I'm talking about. Meaning that from now on, the servants and all have to obey him. He's out here now where you have to recognize him. The manifestation of the sons of God. Are you listening? All right, let's look at it in a minute. Somebody said, well, now then, I'm a woman. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free, and you are. You are. Sister, don't never let nobody tell you that you're not. You are. But now I want to point out something to you, and I want you to listen. I'm free from the law, but I'm a slave to my master, as the song said. Hallelujah. That's right. I'm a prisoner of God. Paul said, I'm a slave to my master. I don't want to be free. Hallelujah. Back in the Old Testament, when the time of release come, and they didn't want to get released, they said, I love my master, I want to serve him. They just took him over to the post and took the awl and put a hole in his ear. Hallelujah. And that master said, you're my servant forever. Hallelujah. I want God to put an awl through my ear, a hole, because I want to be the servant of the Lord Jesus forever. I want to be the prisoner of God. I want to obey him and love him and walk in his goodness. Paul said, if you can be a free man, be a free man. The only way I know to be a free man is to be a prisoner. That's right. To be a free man in the world is to be a prisoner of the devil, to be a prisoner of God, to be a free man in the world. Is that right? Now then, I'm free from the law. The law can't make me do anything. I'm saved by grace. But I love my husband. I serve him. I reverence him. I look to him. Why? Because of what he did for me. What did he do for me? He brought me salvation. Now then, you ladies, listen just a minute. You're free from the law. But how do you serve the husband? You love him. You reverence him. You honor him. You obey him. Why? You said you are a believer in Calvary. And Calvary was the Word. And the Word said honor, obey, reverence. Is that right? Why do you do that? I do that for what Jesus done for me. What did he do for me? He brought me salvation. Well, why should I do it for my husband? Because the only way you can have salvation is through your head. All the way you can have salvation is you ought to love him and honor him because he brought your salvation. Now somebody said, now wait just a minute. How do you get that? Because the Bible teaches that we are saved by the grace of God through faith in the Word. And God, knowing the woman was to be one with the man, wrote the Word in such a way that it protects the man in his activities through life and in his marriage. He wrote the Word and said, woman, honor, reverence, obey thy husband in all things. Are you listening? Then how can she be saved? Through her husband, through her head. Why? Because he's the Savior of the body. How is he the Savior of the body? Because she's saved by faith in what she does to the head. That makes him the only means of salvation. If she can only be saved by faith in the Word, and the Word says that her faith is shown by her deeds, and her deeds is toward her husband, then that makes him the Savior of the body. The only way she can be saved is by obeying the Word, which says to honor your husband. I don't think some of you see what I'm saying.
You understand what I'm saying?
How is the Lord the Savior of the body? Because He's heir to the glory of God. The Scriptures is wrote toward this woman, me, the flesh. It's wrote in the behalf of Him that paid the price at Calvary. The only way I can get in is to honor them. God wrote the Scriptures in behalf of the man to make the woman become one with the man, the church and Christ might be one. He wrote it that she might have to honor her husband. That makes him the Savior of the body, because if she dishonors the Word, she's lost. And if she honors her husband, she's obeyed the Word. That makes him the Savior of the body. Her salvation comes through obedience. She shall be saved in childbearing. All right, now, where does this bring us to now? It brings us to the woman. All right, listen. Now, if the woman is free, and if the man is free, and the woman is constrained by the Word and love of God to obey her husband, which means the church obeys the husband, then what does it mean to the man? We've come to a new day. Under the law, God loves the church according to ordinances and disciplines, according to penalties that was imposed upon her. In the old days, they used to beat the woman just like they did the kid. They give her a whipping just like they did the kid to typify the law. But today, do you do the same thing? You do not. What do? You love them in a different way. Why? Calvary's here. How's that? From Calvary, you love the wife as Christ loved the church. How did He love the church? He gave Himself for it. How does He love the church? He loves her through grace. He found out He couldn't love her through law. She was too guilty. But what caused her guilt? He made her weak. He was the one that made her weak so she would conform to Him and He would be the strength and be her admiration. If the woman is weak, then you're responsible for her weakness. Come on. Because God made you a man and she has to conform to you. That makes you responsible. Bible said if any man put away his wife, he causeth her to commit a fornication. Are you listening? Now you say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? Because God counts her weakness against Him. What the law could not do in that her flesh was weak, God sent grace. Then how should we love our wives? Love them as Christ loved the church. How do you love the church? He showed her grace and mercy in the time of her weakness. When she gets upset, when she gets troubled, when she's got problems that she won't do right. You're supposed to show her grace and swear to your own hurt. That's your Calvary to get to her and love her. You have to bear Calvary by swearing to your own hurt and go right on and love her and work with her, strengthen her and uphold her anyway. Not beat her and knock her around. You're a poor substitute of a human being to do that. Any man will slap a woman and knock a woman around. That's a poor substitute of a human being as far as I'm concerned. I've told my sons that. My sons ever slap their wives and beat their wives, I want them to know. I've told them to their face. That's a poor substitute of a human being, let alone somebody to call himself a man. I know they make you feel like sometimes you take the belt to them. I know that. But you knock a little child around and get upset and let your temper run away with you and you beat that little child because you're angry, that's a devil. Somebody needs to use that belt on you. You need to sit down and get reconciled and out of the love of God, get that little child and correct that little child for his own benefit in a right way. Same way with the wife. To love as Christ, to love the church, that's hard sometimes. Sometimes they can be so honorary. The church is so honorary sometimes that it just grieves God at his heart. Tears him up, but he don't get angry with them. He gets grieved with them. But he won't get upset. He'll just go right on loving them and push over his hurt. That's his Calvary to get to his wife. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? Today's a new day. You love the woman as Christ, love the church. You show her grace. You lead her in by grace. Your love constrains her to follow you. How do you understand what I'm saying? Can I say just a few more words without closing? There's a whole lot of things I'd like to say. But one of these days I'd like to get into the capstone. But I don't want to do that tonight. But I'd like to say just a few more words. See, the covering being the hair, she ought to have power on her head because of the angels. Is that right? What does that mean? The fallen angels will come right into her unless she has the strength of God through her head. For when she cuts off her hair, it is a sign of rebellion to the husband, and the fallen angels take her over. That's how the angels came into the women of old, and sons was born. By working in men, they did it. It wasn't men that brought those into the world. Giants, all of these things. It was fallen angels getting into human bodies. And you give them your body. It had to be somebody that give them their body. You give them your body. It's like that beast gave his body to Satan in the garden. Are you listening? All right, now. Because of the angels, there ought to be power. If you want ministering spirits to come to you as angels, you got to have power. The government on the shoulders. The angels can get around about you. They'll admire you. If you don't want the fallen angel to come into you, then you got to have your hair on your shoulder. I'm speaking of the Spirit of God, the glory, the covering. Otherwise, you're naked. Angels take advantage of you. Are you listening? Spirits are speaking now. Keep your mind out of the gutter. All right, now. That's why the Catholic nuns shave their hair off. They shave their hair off. That's an initiation. It shows the prostitute. It shows Eve, the fallen one. And then they cover with another covering. What kind of covering? They take and put some kind of hood over their head. Like down in Mexico, they try to cover it over with a veil. The veil indicates death. For when they was going to behead somebody, they put a veil over the head. Then they cut their head off, the beheading, separation of the church and the body to show the death of the body, the guillotine. The woman had the veil over her head when she came in the presence of her husband, like Rebekah and Isaac, for the simple reason that she was supposed to be shamefaced in the presence of her husband. The covering of the beast, which is the veil darkly that Paul said we see through, which is the carnal mind of the beast, the spirit of the beast. We have to look through that thing darkly, the iniquity between us and God. But we perceive there is a light. It's a cloud between the sun and the earth. But we look through it darkly. Every now and then we get a glimpse. But that old beast veil is going to be gone. That old human image is going to be gone. That veil was rent in twain at Calvary. It's open now, light in the evening time. Eradication of the coming of the great light, eradicating the outer person. By the glory and the brightness of his coming, the image of perdition is destroyed. The light springing up from within, the outer image being destroyed, translated, changed in the image of God. The sonship, as Adam was in the beginning. So then they cover with another covering. What kind of covering does a Catholic put on? They put on darkness. Because the other covering, if it was light, then the covering that man went into was darkness. And God reckoned time from evening till morning, because in the garden he was in the light of the covering of the light of God. But from the time he fell, he was in the covering of the dark veil of death. Is that right? How do you believe this is the veil of death? But he rent that veil at Calvary. The veil was rent in twain. I ain't got time to go into it, but you know what I mean when I say the separation of the Lord and the Christ, right? All right? There's just so many things I want to say, but I'm going to close because I know you're tired.